Do you think a person could receive the blessing of God any other way than through believing in Jesus Christ? The blessing of God. How earnestly we crave this. How eagerly we seek it. We need help. We need strength for the day's work. We need courage to face the problems that are all round about us. And we need faithfulness in the task that we are sharing and that we're doing. How often we need wisdom. We're confronted with some problem. We have to make some decision. We feel so helpless. We feel so ignorant about things. We just need guidance. And we need love in our hearts. We know right well as we go along that if we would only be more ready to seek the favor of God and more eager to help our fellow man, things would be better. But for that we need the blessing of God. We need inwardly to be strengthened for all this. We're just like flowers who turn to the sun. We lift up our hearts to God for blessing. Now in our study in the 6th chapter of John, we're studying now, as you know, in the Gospel according to John. And in chapter 6, you will remember we noticed how the people came to the Lord Jesus and asked him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And many times we ask that question. I'm satisfied not everybody does. I know perfectly well there are many people in the community that may hear this, may even be hearing this broadcast. And it's not really true, so far as they're concerned, that they really are interested in or want to know or they care about what God wants them to do. But there are some of us who do want the blessing of God. We would actually want to be helped. And we have the feeling there is something we could do. And there are those of us who actually, right today, would really be asking this very question. What should I do that I might work the works of God? And you will remember the Lord Jesus answered them very simply and told them to believe on him whom God hath sent. It actually meant to believe on himself. He offered himself as the source of blessing. And in the course of that, when he was doing that, you will remember, he underscored the fact that he was the only source of blessing, and right here problems arise in the hearts of many people. He was the only source of blessing. You remember how he said, "The Father hath committed all judgment to the Son." Doesn't mean there are going to be many different ways. There's just this one. And then in the passage that we had just studied, in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, he used the figure of bread and spoke of himself saying that he was the bread of life or the bread of the world, and went on to say something like this: "Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." Now today we're going to be looking in chapter 6 from verses 41 through verse 65. So if you have your Bibles open, just follow through. You could be reading ahead of where I'm talking and sort of get the idea of these things in mind, and then notice the comments that you will see, which I will make about these as we go along. We're going to see today that there were many of the people who heard him who could not accept the idea that he was the only source of blessing. Or should we say they would not accept this idea? For instance, in verse 41, we read, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" That is, he put it right on himself. He didn't say, "There is a bread come down from heaven and you should find it." He didn't say, "There is that which could be secured, you could find things, God makes things available, you go out and hunt for them." That's not what he said. He said, "I am," standing right there before them, drawing attention to himself and just calling them to him and putting it very, very simple and plain and saying just in so many words, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." Now the Jews murmured at that. That is to say, they criticized it. They complained. They didn't want to accept it. And then in verse 42, you'll see John's version of this. Both Matthew and Mark have this to say elsewhere, and it's in Luke 2, but here is the form that you have it in John. They said, these are the neighbors, the people that he was with. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And you recognize this right away. And by the way, if any of you in listening to this, you'd say, there the Bible says that Jesus is the son of Joseph, and so on, that Joseph is his father. Just remember that this was spoken by people who did not believe. Even in those days, there were people that did not believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. They thought that he was a child like any other child with a human father and a human mother. And since he lived in that family and Joseph was the husband of his mother, of the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Joseph was her husband, this is what they said. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? That is to say, we know his family background. We know his human nature. Now, by the way, this brings us right up to date. Right in our day and time, you'll find many, many people who want to discuss the things of the church. They want to discuss the things of the gospel. They want to teach in Sunday school and talk about a Christian education, who are preoccupied with the human aspect of Jesus of Nazareth. That's the one big thing they want to make out, is that he was a man. And I feel like saying, wait, 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 wait. You could make a big mistake. Because you can emphasize the human aspect of Jesus of Nazareth in such a way that you actually blind the mind, that you can't see the truth. That's the way those people were. They were so conscious of him as a human being, they thought they knew who he was. They were wrong. They didn't know who he was. Certainly he was in human form, but they were wrong about him. And now in verses 43 to 46, the Lord Jesus meets this, and I want you to notice very closely just how he went about meeting this unbelief on the part of his neighbors. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Don't give your time over to arguing and criticizing what I have said and complaining about this. And now in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Just that. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Now notice verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And then the Lord Jesus makes this closing comment. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, there's one thing I want to draw your attention to, and I want you to be noticed very, very carefully here. Your first impression would be that God calls some, doesn't call others. Your first thought would be God draws some and doesn't draw others. Now, there is a way in which that statement, you could lay it down flat, and it's true, just the way in which it reads. But you want to be very careful you don't read into it the idea that it's God's fault. Don't read into that that God is making a selection. Don't put into there the idea that God chooses Tom and leaves out Dick, chooses Harry and leaves out Jim. That's not what it says. God calls all men everywhere to come unto him. The word of God is given out to the whole world, just like the sun shines on all men. God is no respecter of persons. The fact of the matter is that Tom comes. He listens. Dick doesn't. Harry comes. Jim doesn't. So since Tom hears and listens, Harry hears and listens. He comes. Dick doesn't hear. He doesn't listen. Jim doesn't hear. He doesn't listen. So it winds up that Tom comes, Dick doesn't come. Harry comes, Jim doesn't come. And you could say that God called, or shall I say, he drew Tom, and he drew Harry. He did not draw Dick. He did not draw Jim. Certainly. It isn't that he didn't want to, or it isn't that he wasn't willing to. It was that the material that he presented, the things that he presented to them, they did not respond to. Now, you'll need to hold to that. Otherwise, the whole truth of this will slip by you. The fact of the matter is something like this. If your thinking about the things of the gospel is just on a human level, you can be with those who don't come. But if you are willing to be taught of God, and how would God teach you? Well, that will include the providence of God that marks your life. It will include the inward thoughts that come to you in the night. It will include the ideas that will come to your heart and mind from preaching or from reading or wherever you may be. You may be in with a group of Christian people sometime in the singing of a hymn, and something touches your heart. It may be that you'll be out doing your own work and you're suddenly conscious of the things of God. You may be standing in your own kitchen just tending to your own work, cooking a meal or washing the dishes, and you're suddenly conscious of something from God. God's speaking to you. Or it may be that you read a portion of the Scripture and it speaks right to your heart. Or you may walk into a church sanctuary, and sitting down in the church sanctuary, you feel the very presence of God. These are the things which gathered together promote this that you speak about God calling you. Now, any man who, out of these things, is led to interpret the gospel for himself, and as he hears the gospel, he becomes conscious of the fact that God is calling him, that's the person that who will come. Now, if a person listens to the gospel, reads the Bible, hears the hymns, goes to church, and is not going to relate these things to the providence of God in his life, to the affairs, the way in which God affects him, he just isn't going to listen to anything like that, that kind of person never will know. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand. Draw us nearer and nearer to Thee. And we pray Thee, Father, that Thou wilt help us to appreciate the way in which Thou dost speak to us any day. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.